Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله القائل إن دين عند الله الإسلام ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. To beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'da. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما كان للنفس أن تؤمن إلا بإذن الله ويجعل الرجس وأجل وجعل الرجس على الذين لا يعقلون صدق الله العظيم. This is the 10th surah, Surah Yunus, chapter Jonah. Verse 100, an expression of it is, it never has been, it is not now, and it will never be that any soul can believe except with Allah's permission. And Allah lays uncleanness and incapacity on those who do not use their intellect. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, acquire knowledge because he who acquires it is in the way of Allah. Who performs it, it is an act of piety. Who speaks of it, praises the Lord. Who seeks it, adores Allah. Who dispenses instruction in it, bestows alms, and who imparts it to its fitting objects, performs an act of devotion to Allah. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Alhamdulillah, today we continue on and in the seventh part of the intellect under the main heading, the five obligations for building ummah. And continuing on the subject of intellect, we're going to move quickly to restate, and I still can't get away as much as I want to from the place within the system, so I have to submit. First, we're going through Khalaqa, Sawa, Qadra, Hada, which are four components from Surah 87, verses 1 through 3. So we are asking ourselves and answering, inshallah, what is the form of the intellect? What is the place of the intellect within the universal system? How does the intellect grow from simple to complex? And what is the role of the intellect in the guidance of God? So we've gone through, and we're again within the second one of those. We talk about the form. We're speaking now again, continuing the place within the system, where the intellect falls within the universal system of reality. And of course, inshallah, what comes next, inshallah, we'll be able to start getting more so into the qadara, which is how the intellect grows from simple to complex. But let's continue with what we have for today. So what is the form of the intellect? We've stated in many ways in fuller expressions. It is the disposition in the soul which finds patterns for our thinking in the creation, and the name for that is Adam. Adam is a disposition that finds patterns in creation for our thinking. That's the beginning of it, okay? Moving past that, the place within the system. What is the place within the system? That is the intellect. You can very simply imagine in your quote-unquote cranium, in your head, that there is something there that exists, it's real, and it is within the universal system of reality. It exists, it's real, and I'm saying position it for the sake of understanding in your head, all right? Even though factually, actually, concretely, no, it's not there particularly, the intellect. Brain is there, and we're going to say more about that as we go. But for the sake of understanding, that intellect, it stands between, let's say, sky and earth. It stands between sky and earth, okay? It stands between the material reality and the spiritual reality. Better said, the physical and the metaphysical. That's a part of the reality that we're in. We're in a physical reality, and we're also in a metaphysical reality. We all have intellects, and those intellects are beings that exist in this universe, which is both physical and metaphysical. So what is the place of the intellect in this universal system that I'm describing? It stands between those two. It's between the physical and the metaphysical. There are things that the intellect, you can call it mind, you can call it consciousness, what have you. There are things that the intellect accesses from the external, and it also has access to what is internal. Access to the physical, access to the metaphysical. You and I, as beings of intellects, to speak of ourselves as the willing, knowing being, we use our intellects, inshallah, we use our intellects to navigate, negotiate life, right? Life has stuff, life has, yes, stuff, inputs, and of course we have outputs, right? We get inputs from the physical, we get inputs from the metaphysical. The being that is responsible for that is you and I as a free will with an intellect. You and I as a free will with an intellect. It's our responsibility. Okay, incoming, who's going to deal with it? As a willing creature, you're supposed to use your intellect to deal with it, right? And incoming from something from within. I'm feeling some kind of way. Sometimes that's the language nowadays. So I'm feeling some kind of way. Okay, well, who's supposed to deal with it? You as the willing creature with an intellect, right? In some matters, you could call it, just for the sake of getting a handle on it, emotional intelligence, right? Emotional intelligence is the capacity for managing those internal urges, impulses, feelings, sentiments, etc. They come up in you. Who's supposed to deal with it? It's not somebody else supposed to deal. You, as a free-willing intellect, are supposed to, okay, how do I manage this? Right? All right. So that has to do with the place. That's the place of the intellect. And you should see that the intellect is a tool to be used by you, the one that will be judged by Allah. That is you as a free will. That's what's being judged. How you as a free will used the properties that Allah created you with and the properties that Allah created you among, i.e. the universe itself. The judgment will be upon what did you do? How did you act? Did you act rightly or did you act wrongly? And that's what all the merits or demerits in the book that will be read for us, against us, or about us in the judgment, that's what they are comprised of. They're comprised of the merits and demerits for the choices that we made and the behavior that we displayed while we were in these bodies on this plane. All right. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he told us in more words than these that the universe was made for the mind of man. The universe was made for the mind of man. So very important. We were not made for the universe. The universe was made for us. We were made from the universe by Allah's will, but that was to prepare us, or rather to enable us to get the blessing of the universe that Allah created, external and internal. So he created us in a form that grows to a wherewithal, a capacity, an autonomy, a freedom, an independence that can get the full benefit of the immenseness of this great universe with all of its gifts and graces and blessings, etc. Allah wants us to experience that, to have that. Quran tells us, don't forget your share of the material world. You don't think you think you're talking about America? God's not talking about America. You think he's talking about the earth? He gave us the whole universe as a gift. I'll just take my piece from the earth. That's good. But go talk to Elon Musk. See what he's trying to get. Jeff Bezos, what he trying to get? Huh? And we haven't even talked about the intellectuals, quote unquote, the mind folks that are dealing with, Elon, he can have that. Jeff, he can have that. I'm looking at this other thing that they're not even ready to understand. But it's a gift and a grace and a reality. Let's move back. So the universe was made for the mind of man, and that's our place. Our place is God has given us a tool in our minds and in our intellects that you can just dig into this universe that he's created and have what you like. Even if you like things that are bad for you, God, you can have it, but you got to pay the price. But there are so many things, blessed things, if you will, that the mind is created for. All right, so the intellect, its place within the system is for addressing matters from without and matters from within. This fun fact, I'll call it, hold on to it, use it. I'm going to reiterate it. We've said it. This is, let's call it, the third week that I've mentioned it again because I want you to own it. It's critical in understanding our place within this universal system. And so we stand between that which is external and that which is unseen, but we can describe it as internal. And we pointed out that there are 100 trillion neuronal connections in this brain, right? This brain that we have, networks of connections, 100 trillion network connections, neural connections in our inside, the inside, right? 10 million of those are dedicated to the outside. 10 million out of 100 trillion. That is, and we give the numbers again, I can remember by the, you have to have five nines, right? So it's 99.99999% of those neuronal connections are for what's going on the inside. 10 million or 0.00001 of those 100 trillion neuronal connections are dedicated to everything external. It's for our movement, our survival, our whatever, self-maintenance, self-protection in this world, only 10 million. Question is, what are the other 99.99999% of those 100 trillion for? We're going to say a little bit about that. So, but to understand that the intellect is to manage what is coming from without and what is coming from within. That's its job. So there's, excuse the language, there's stuff coming from the outside, inputs, right? And there's stuff coming from the inside, which is also inputs for the intellect. There's something for the intellect to deal with, but it's coming from the inside, right? And so the 10 million does their job, and our survival is a testimony to it. The 10 million doing its job is what keeps us alive in this body, if you will. The other, 100 trillion minus 10 million, is designed to deal with what's going on the inside. All right? So we also said that the mind stands between order, chaos, known, unknown, seen, unseen, physical, metaphysical. That abstract, we'll call it abstract, but it's real, the intellect, that's its job, to be there between chaos and order, known, unknown, physical, metaphysical, seen, unseen, external, internal, and make decisions about how to reply, respond, utilize, understand all of those inputs from whatever the source might be. Right? That's its job. So go back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse that we read, 10-100. The numbers are significant. 10 is conscience. 10 times 10 is being conscious of your conscience, right? 10 times 10, 100, 10, and then 10 times 10, all right? So whenever a number is applied against itself, you have come to the fullness of that, and that's the fullness. And what does the verse say? The verse says, it has never been, it is not now, and it never will be that anyone can have faith except by Allah's permission. That's the start of it. Come on now. In your heart right now, be sure. In your soul, be sure that if you have faith, you thank Allah. How many people would you love for them to have the faith that you have in Allah? And they've been around you all so many years, seeing you living al-Islam, and they still, let's call it, don't get it. Literally and figuratively. But you love them, though, don't you? I love them. I hope nothing bad happens to them. But I know they haven't got the greatest gift that can be given to a human being, and that is faith in the creator of the heavens and the earth. Well, so in terms of that verse, God is making the first point that if you have faith, it's because I allowed you to have faith. Everybody don't get what I gave you. Can't you hear that script? Can you imagine? Look, I don't get it to everybody. But I'm going to give it to you. And don't even try to answer why. Don't even try. Because there's no justification that we can give for Allah giving us faith. No. He said, oh, because I was so smart. I grew up, I was a good girl. I was a good boy. I always obeyed my mama. I always obeyed my dad. That ain't the reason. A lot of people who do that, they don't believe in Allah at all. Let's move away from that. So the idea is that, and then Allah says, and he will send. In fact, let me make sure he doesn't say but. Well, what could be translated as but I don't think so. وَيَجْعَلُ رِجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And Allah will place uncleanness and incapacity. This word rijsa, it means to become unclean, dirty, filthy, stinking, disliked, hated, unclean, all of that. And it also carries the meaning to be hindered, to be withheld, to be prevented from doing something. Allah says these are all the things that he will put upon those who fail to use their aql, those who fail to use their intellect. All right? Those who fail it, they will be incapacitated. They will be hindered. They will be withheld from doing a thing. They will become unclean. They will become filthy if they don't use their intellect. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associates this iman, this faith, with the use of the intellect, we're going to go further. Inshallah, we're going to go further into that fact. Because those two things, they go together. You know, when you use that intellect. Hadith of Muhammad, peace be upon him, most of you, you've heard this many times from me. When Allah says when he created the intellect, he told it to stand up. It stood up, told it to sit down. It sat down, told it to come forward. It came forward, told it to go back. It went back. And then Allah says, I have not created anything more excellent than you. And I will only perfect it in those whom I love. So the growth of the intellect is also a sign of Allah's love for the person. Okay? So the intellect grows, the intellect is applied in accordance with the will of Allah, which is what that hadith is telling us. It's the intellect that is obedient to the will of Allah that will make the progress. And that intellect, no matter what the IQ is, but it's not, if it's not obedience to Allah, then it's going to be filthy, dirty, withheld from what is best in their life and in the world. So those who use their intellect, right? So the intellect is for addressing matters from without, and we mentioned it again, the seen, the physical, and induction. Let's stay with it. Induction is dealing with what's coming from the outside in. Right, and then so it's gathering information, gathering data, gathering information. When it within the consciousness, when the man or the mind considers it, then it is to know. And what should I do with all of this input? Right. So it accumulates, and then it devises or comes to quote unquote some kind of law or idea that says, okay, this is how reality is. Requires it. This is how reality is. Okay, since you know now what reality is, now what you have to know to do is, what do I do with it now that I know? Now, so therefore the question is, then you have to know how to make deductions from what you have gained, acquired, taken in, right? That's where the internal mechanism comes in. It comes in as like, you can give me the data, the facts, et cetera, et cetera, but if I don't know what to do with the data, facts, then what good are they? So the input comes from the sensibility, the capacity for me to take in from the outside. That 100 trillion, just to begin that example, that 100 trillion is designed to tell you what to do with what comes in, either from the outside or from the inside. If you don't know what to do with what comes in, you're going to become dirty, filthy, unclean, incapacitated, hindered, etc. Because you don't know what to do with all this input. Take a breath and go slow, because something it should be coming real clear right now. And that is this. I don't know the exact stat for it, but it's of this nature. In one edition of the Sunday LA Times, there's more input for us to take in and react to than a lifetime of someone in 1700s. 1700s is like, we in one newspaper, you go to that newspaper, the events in that newspaper are more than a lifetime of someone centuries earlier. What's the big deal? You got to react to all that stuff. You have to respond. Five policemen, black men, killed a black man. Beat him up, tried to hide it, wah. That's only one now. 20,000 die in an earthquake in Turkey, rahimahullah, die in an earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Trump's running for president. Nikki Haley is running against him. You know what I'm saying? 49ers quarterback, you know, got knocked out of the finals with an injury. These are, you know, I'm just picking up little things. But what if you are somebody that's constantly, you're on all these platforms, you're on all these systems that are pushing out information, and then also analyzing what you like and shooting you more of the stuff that you like, even if it's about assassinations and murder and mayhem. So what happens? You get more murder, assassination, and mayhem on your feed. And if you don't have the intellect to manage those inputs, filthiness, uncleanness, hindrance, incapacitation is the order of the day. Why are suicides going up so much? It has to do with the incapacity to manage the input. This is too much. I'm just being dramatic. So we need an obedient intellect, an intellect obedient to the will of Allah, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show us how to manage all of these inputs from the world that we're living in right now. And let us go to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in this favor of al-Islam. You need to make salat. You need to make salat. We need, hey, look, y'all, when I say you, your, y'all, whatever I need to say, I'll never say y'all, I don't think so. But I do say your and you and what have you. I'm in this. I'm in the audience too. I need it. We need it. So Allah gives us salat. Because what happens with salat, we did a whole series on it, but one of the just simplest thing. One of the things that salat does, when you put your forehead on the ground, that negative energy, etc., that buildup, that static, etc., in the electromagnetic field of your brain, You have these three-prong plugs, right? Three-prong. You got a prong, and then you got this round thing in the plug, right? What's that? That's the ground wire. Why do they call it the ground wire? Because it's got to be grounded or you're going to get hurt. Well, you and I have to be grounded or you and I are going to get hurt. The saying is, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. You make salah, you get grounded. And you literally get that negative field of energy. You get it off of your and out of your being. And there's a greater purification, big message to that. There's a greater purification that happens, and stronger and better connections get made in those 100 trillion that line up with the will of Allah. Myelination. I'm here, so I got to tell you. Everything you do is, I do this. Every time I do this, there are connections being reinforced in my brain that relate to just this. This, I'm opening and closing my hand for those who just did not see. My brain is connect, reinforce, myelinate, so that we can make this process faster and more automatic and more natural, more habitual. See, it can go positive or negative. But if you're making salah, you can feel the exercise on that. Can't you feel the exercise on that? Come on. Question. What is that doing with those 100 trillion neuronal connections in your brain? It's setting you up for accessing more of the plus and the pattern in creation that feeds your existence physically and spiritually. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Come to prayer, come to cultivation. So these inside connections are reinforced with salat, and that reinforcement of salat strengthens our intellect, strengthens our mind, and strengthens thereby the capacity for it. To conclude this portion of the khutbah, I want to bring your attention to sayings. There are about three sayings, or there are three that I'm going to be using right now, from scientists, philosophers, spiritualists who are noted in the world. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to send you to them, because you got to always watch out for fish bones, so I'm going to do that right now. But these, you heard me, I'm very comfortable with Alama Muhammad Iqbal. He said that the laws of nature are the garments of reality. When you listen, as I continue, think internal, external, internal, external. The intellect is between both. The intellect, the reality of the intellect stands between the known and the unknown, the seen, the unseen, the physical, metaphysical. Okay, so therefore, when he makes this statement, the laws of nature are the garments of reality, then he's talking about two things. One of them is seen, one of them is the unseen. The seen is which part? The laws of nature. The laws of nature. The unseen is the reality of nature. The laws of nature are the garments of reality. So if you're going to see reality, you have to go through the laws of nature. It's not foreign to you if you've read the Quran. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in his searching for Allah, What did he see? God says of him, thus did we show Abraham the power and the laws of the heavens and the earth, that he might have conviction, yaqeen. And so then he saw the star and got beyond it. He saw the moon and got beyond it. He saw the sun, which is a star. He saw the sun and got beyond it, and behind it all, realizing that Allah is the reality that is not the physical, but the creator and the sustainer of the physical, and that's who he worships. So when Allama Iqbal says the laws of nature are the garments of reality, think about that. But don't think about you ignore the laws of reality, the laws of nature. No. You have to get to them and through them so that you can be in touch with the haq, the reality. This is the invitation. You got to ask yourself, do I want to live my life without really knowing what the ultimate reality is? That Allah has created me in and created for me? I don't need to know all that. I don't know, maybe you don't. If all you want in life is, I don't know, good looking W-2 or something, I don't know, mashallah. I mean, I ain't mad at you, it's good. But that's one. And this calls for intellect then, to get beyond the laws of nature in order to see reality. Another saying, statement from a scientist. Physics explains the operations of the material world, but not the nature of it. Physics explains the operations of the material world, but not the nature of it. So that's like Iqbal's statement, the laws of physics are the garments of reality. The laws of nature are the garments of reality. Okay, so I see the laws of nature, but I still don't see the reality. I have to get beyond that. But I should know that reality is clothed in those laws, and so therefore my intellect has to engage that so that I can follow it to the reality. Well, the laws of nature are telling you about the operation, but it's not telling you about the nature of it. Let me remind you, our way of life is called Dinul Fitr. That's our way of life. The way of life grounded in the original nature. So when we talk about getting beyond the laws of physics, getting beyond the laws of nature, we have to get beyond those by way of learning in order to really touch